There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
It's DFS Week 6. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the DFS show for Week 6 in the NFL. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is our guest today, Mitch Carl. You can follow him on Twitter at DFS and Donuts, two of my favorite things. He's also the founder of Team Rise or Fall. Mitch, welcome to the program today. Did you bring me donuts? That's really all I care about.
Yeah, I got a box of a dozen donut holes for you, so I hope you appreciate them.
The donut holes are good, you know, and not just the Munchkins, but also the Tim Hortons donut holes. I forget. They have a certain name. Timbits. There you go. Timbits.
Of course I know.
See, they just opened a Tim Hortons here in my town in Jersey, and it's in the worst possible location, but I always like the Tim Hortons coffee, but I will still get out of my way to go there. But what's your donut of choice, Mitch? If you're going to be the DFS and donuts guy, you got to give me like, what's the quintessential Mitch Carl donut?
Yeah, I get asked this every once in a while, and I always feel like I'm off-brand because I think it might actually be a pastry, but I'm a huge apple fritter fan, so if you qualify as a donut, there it is.
You're elitist. That's fair.
I'm an elitist.
I understand.
I'm a donut elitist.
When it comes to pastries, I'm a Napoleon guy. I just want everybody to know, delicious. If you want to get to me, you want to get a spot on the show, send me a nice box of Napoleons. And then I'll probably have you on as a guest. That's how Mitch got here, actually.
The people know.
Well, we got a great show for you today. As always, we're going to break down the Week 6 slate of games. We got a lot of fun ones to talk about, thank goodness. We also finally got buys, which is great because we start to condense the field a little bit, which is where I really like to be. Atlanta's out. New Orleans out. The Jets are out. Not that you're probably using them much anyway. And the 49ers are out. Thank God, because I'm so tired of watching the 49ers ruin fantasy teams. You've also got Buffalo and Tennessee on the Monday night, Seattle and Pittsburgh on the Sunday night. That's a great game I wish we could be involved in, but we can't because it's not on the main, and the main slate's the one we're going to take you through. But before we do, I want to remind everybody to check out the Betting Pros podcast, because Week 6 Best Bet Show with Dan Harris, that's going to be out today on Thursday, as well as this bad boy right here. Also, Scott Bogman and I do that weekly college football show. It's been fantastic. We have a great time on that one. Very entertaining show. We just recorded it last night, and you can check them all out at bettingpros.com/podcast, and you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And Dan Harris doesn't just have that Best Bets. He's also got the weekly look at the NFL spreads and the over-unders every Tuesday that comes out also. And don't forget about the Daily Juice while you're at it. Every single day, our own Matt Perrault will give you his quick thoughts and his favorite picks for each day in the world of sports, whatever it's NFL, college football, MLB, NHL, it doesn't matter. Matt Perrault is always there for you. He had an incredible run, 9-2-1 on Sunday. Not too shabby. Again, that's the Daily Juice, and you can check that out as well at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. So now that all the housekeeping's out of the way, Mitch, what do you say we talk some football, my friend?
I'm ready to rock and roll, brother.
Now, you and I were talking a little bit about strategy before, which I think is a really good thing to discuss. And we were kind of talking, before we even get into the players, we were kind of talking about approach to contests. specifically out there, especially for the people that are more casual DFS players, what is your recommendation for them when they're approaching contests? I know we all have different things we like to tell people, but I thought you had some interesting takes and some interesting things, and I think it's worthy of sharing with our audience here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate the opportunity. So one of the most important aspects of building lineups is making sure that you are building to the contest you're entering. A lot of people like to sit down. They think they've got their list of plays, their player pool, their projections, their ownerships. They've got the entire puzzle in front of them, but they don't put together the pieces correctly. Whether you're picking a large field contest or a small field contest, you know, we're talking something 10,000 entries versus 500 entries, you need to be building your lineup specifically towards the contest you're entering. If you're entering something small, you can get away with using some of the chalkier players. You can worry about making the best possible lineup for you in that contest. If you're doing something larger, well, then maybe you're looking for some ownership pivots based on how chalky, you know, each player might be. And you also want to include more correlation. So while I'm talking about some of my players today, I'll probably add in maybe sprinkle in. I'll keep the donuts, you know, I'll keep the donuts.
I love
going.
When you stay on brand.
Yeah, I got to stay on brand all day, man. So I'm going to be trying to sprinkle in some of these little nuggets as far as how to build and how to use each player in regards to what contest you might be entering.
All right, well, let's kick things off here. Running back, who is your cash game running back of the week? We'll start with all the cash game players at running back, wide receiver, QB, and tight end that we think are going to be good ROIs this week that have higher salaries.
Awesome. So the first one's Austin Eckler. And I was looking just now on the DraftKings page and I saw 11 out of the first 13 running backs listed when you sort by the salary are questionable or doubtful. So you've got two running backs that stand out, and that's Jonathan Taylor and Austin Eckler. I'm rolling with Austin Eckler at 7.9K on DraftKings. You have to go all the way back to week four of the 2019 season since you've seen his price tag at this level. And on FanDuel at 8.4K, he's never been there. So we're actually paying a premium, and I'm okay with it because I don't feel confident about the rest of the players at the position. The Ravens are a defense in years past that you've looked at and said, no way, no how, I am not touching a running back in this spot. But they're giving up 22.84 points per game to opposing running backs. That is the third worst on the main slate. Dating back to the final two games of the 2020 season, Eckler has caught a receiving touchdown in five of the last six games. That means he has PPR equity for DraftKings. He has touchdown equity for FanDuel. And dang it, Joe, he is very handsome. And that has to stand for something. So I am using Austin Eckler and cash on both sites, and I feel pretty confident about it.
Yeah, I thought it would stand for something with me, but they keep telling me no. So I don't know, Mitch. I don't know where it's going.
It's the bald correlation. We look great.
That's what it is. Look, us bald guys, we never age. That's the thing. You know, we might look older first, but then we look the same for the next 30, 40 years. Ben Kingsley's like 90 years old almost. He looks the same as he did 40 years ago. You got to love those guys. I love the Eckler call too, and I love the way specifically Justin Herbert's been playing these last few weeks. He really has. I didn't think it could get better than last year. I was a little skeptical. And it's gotten better. And this is a fun matchup here this week against Baltimore. I am not one this week for spending up at running back. Eckler is definitely a good one. I think that's one you could earmark. The other one for me is going to be Ezekiel Elliott. And I know you're going to say, well, he's going against the Patriots defense and the Pats defense is good. But at the same time, if you look at what Elliott's done, he should actually have more touchdowns than he's got already. He is up to 6 touchdowns on the year. You could argue he probably should have 8 in some of these spots where he's been stopped in some of these other games. But he's finished as RB1, RB6, RB6 the last 3 weeks. Top 10 finish in the last 4. That first week was tough against the Bucs, but again, that's the Bucs. So he's been very solid. You're approaching the bye week. I would imagine he gets the full workload there against the Pats. So for me, I think Elliott is a good one. And you make a good point, too. You got no Derrick Henry on this main slate. You're taking him away. You're taking away also, you know, a few other running backs that, because of injury, aren't going to be on that slate. So it's kind of weird, which is why this week I'm kind of focusing down at the position, because I don't think there's a whole lot of, quote, separators that are out there. When it comes to a separator, a cash game wide receiver, who are you looking at?
Yeah, so my pick at wide receiver this week is going to be Davante Adams. And honestly, it's just because he's just been such a...
Well, he was our lock of the week last week, so that turned out to be correct.
Yeah, no kidding. And I think this could be a repeat, honestly. Yeah. I mean, we've seen this guy score 18 or more fantasy points in 12 out of the last 18 games he's played. And now we were talking about contest selection prior to the show, and then dabbled in it at the top of the show as well. You know, if you are playing cash games, honestly, over the last 2 years, you're starting to see a lot of people start to enter a lot of head-to-heads included in their cash games. And when you do that, you also need to focus a little bit on the ceiling. So it's more so focusing on the range of outcomes for a player. Now, a guy like Davante Adams gives you that safe floor because of his PPR and touchdown equity, but he also has the elite ceiling that you are looking for when you're picking your head-to-head players. Now, Davante Adams scoring 30 or more points in 8 out of the last 18 games. There's not a single player in the NFL that has done that over the last 18 games. He has a higher ceiling and hits that mark higher than any other player and any other position. So Davante Adams, just an easy plug and play for me.
I was so upset last week, Mitch, because I had Jamar Chase and Davante Adams in a bunch of lineups together. But unfortunately, they also had a couple guys like Laviska Shenault in them who just bottomed out, who should have been good theoretical plays on paper and just did not show up in reality. And it's such a bummer when that happens, right? But that's the nature of the beast, right? But I'm with you 100% here on Adams too. And I don't think you have to necessarily tie him to Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'm over that because I feel like as great as it is to have, you know, those two guys in there, I think you can do better sometimes at the ROI at that same quarterback price of Aaron Rodgers. For me, it's Mike Williams, and I know the health is a little in question this week, so just monitor that as we get closer. We'll see what the practice information is today, but if he's healthy and he's playing, it's hard not to get excited about Mike Williams. He's become that X wide receiver here. We talked about how much we like Eckler because of Herbert, what he's been able to do with the offense. And obviously, Mike Williams has just been brilliant. It's a great matchup. I can't imagine this game not hitting the over, which matters to me as well. And then we're talking about quarterbacks, and I'll start with mine. To me, the quarterback out there is Lamar Jackson. I want Lamar on the other side of this game. I just think Lamar right now is starting to show everybody he's a much better passer than people give him credit for. Last two games, 316 yards, 442 yards. Lamar Jackson could throw the ball in college. He just wasn't set up to do it in the pros because the offensive line was not a good pass protection offensive line, and he had nobody to throw the ball to. Hollywood stepped up his game. Hollywood has played much better. You see what he can do. We'll see if we get Rashad Bateman back into this game. Hopefully at some point he's back playing for the Ravens. I don't know how much longer we have to wait, but having more weapons here for him is going to make the big difference. And Lamar already brings you that strong floor. He's going to bring you that upside. And I think having Herbert on the other side of this game is important because you want somebody that's going to push the total, somebody's going to push the scoring, and I think that's exactly where you want to be. And I don't care if it's Herbert or Lamar, I think either one of those guys are really good cash game quarterbacks this week. How about you? Where do you want to go with a cash game QB?
Yeah, I love that pick in Lamar Jackson. Anytime you can get a player that has that rushing floor and just provides you that solid base of fantasy points, that's always going to be a good pick. Now, one of the things I'm actually trying to do in cash games this week is I'm going to do a mini stack. That is something we've seen over the last couple of years where people are starting to take their quarterback and they're picking one of their pass catching targets or at least somebody else in that game, and they're using them together in cash games. Now, I'm going to be doing that this week, and I'll further expand upon that as we continue. But Patrick Mahomes, my dude, he has scored over 20 fantasy points in all but one game in the regular season over the last 20 games. So that's 19 out of 20 games he scored 20 or more. You can't find a better scoring floor, potentially even the highest ceiling at the position. And I am going to plug him in with confidence. He's going against the Washington football team, giving up 31 points per game this season.
That defense has been so disappointing. And they were supposed to be
good. Correct.
They were they were good last year. They were just straight up good. I don't know what's happened. I don't know if they found holes in the scheme. I don't know if they're just not getting the same pressure they did last year up front. But whatever it is, man, it's been embarrassing. And, you know, real quick, going back to Lamar, too, let's not forget about the Chargers struggling against rushing yards. And Lamar, I think, is going to have a huge rushing day potentially against them. So that base of that rushing yards on top of that, and then what you're talking about, too, with Mahomes, either of those guys is a lock for points this week. And Kansas City is in a must-win situation here. I mean, let's not pretend that they're not. You know, they're going to win this football game. If they lose, then they've got a whole lot of other host of problems. But this is definitely there. All right. That being said, is Kelce the cash game tight end for you? Or is there somebody else that you would pay up for?
Yeah, it's hard for me not to just absolutely lock him in. He's truly the guy I'm going to probably start my lineups with on both sites this week. So I would plug in Kelce as a stone cold lock, especially if Tyreek Hill misses, which he is currently questionable with a knee injury. I saw him get bumped at the line of scrimmage in the Bills game, and I was wondering, did he just hurt himself? He looked kind of hobbled right after, and here we are, questionable in week six. Dating back to week eight of the 2020 season, he scored less than 20 fantasy points just two times in the last 12 games. He's just kind of that consistent high-end option who is scoring like a wide receiver, priced like a tight end. 8.5K in FanDuel and DraftKings just seems silly. I don't understand the price discount. He went from over 8K to start the season to 7.6, and now this week he's just $7,000. If Davante Adams or Derrick Henry were priced at 7K, I would lock them in. That's how I viewed I view Travis Kelce at the tight end position. So I'm doing just that in this week.
I agree 100%. I want to be different here, but I'm just not going to do it because everything you said is correct. And it's funny because if you talk about, you know, that secondary, the Bills, they're very physical and you don't get a lot of that nowadays. Poyer, Hyde, White, they're a very physical defensive backfield. And I feel like they kind of take their toll on those guys like the next week. Like they just kind of beat up the teams. They beat up on the wide receivers. They take a pounding when you go out there trying to catch balls and they make tackles. And it's funny because it's something you saw in the last couple years with them and they've kept it over this year. And it's not surprising that Tyreek Hill is a little banged up after a very physical matchup with them. So Kelce for me as well. And we're just not going to get fancy here. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Jock Market. It's time to check out Jock Market, the app where daily fantasy becomes a stock exchange. Buy, sell shares of players in real time for real money. At the end of the night, all shares have a guaranteed payout based on fantasy point scoring. Download now a 100% deposit match up to $50 using the promo code PROS. And just this week, they're offering a special contest on Thursday night for the Bucks-Broncos game. If you deposit with the promo code PROS and trade at least $20 in the Bucks-Broncos game, you could win an extra $50 and a paid subscription to Fantasy PROS. Finish with a better return on your investment than our team, and Jock Market will throw in an extra $50 into your account and free paid Fantasy PROS subscription. Check out jockmarket.com. That's jockmkt.com/pros for more details. Think you can beat the market? Prove it on Thursday night and cash out a little extra. And if you complete a live trade, Jock Market will pick one random trader to give them another bonus of $100. Are you kidding me? Download it now and enter the promo code PROS and check out jockmkt.com/pros. And now, back to the action. Now let's talk about the value plays. Now these are the guys that might be able to go in either cash games or tournaments because they're a little bit lesser value. If we're starting at the running back position, who do you think kind of fits that bill for you this week, Mitch?
Yeah, so to kind of complete the rest of my lineup here, as I said, I wanted to do like a smaller stack. I'm probably going to be doing a team stack in my cash because I like to do a lot of volume in head-to-heads where I do need to outscore a large percentage of my opponents. So I'm looking at Darrell Williams as being one of my cash pay-down options. He's cheap. He's affordable. I thought Jerick McKinnon might be a bigger issue, but I don't think he is. He had the perfect game flow last game against the Buffalo Bills, and he was still out-snapped by 12% by Darrell Williams. So I'm looking at Williams thinking to myself, if he's going to be in there more than McKinnon in a negative game script and where a game where I thought McKinnon would be on the field for all third downs, passing downs, and he just wasn't, well, now I love Williams because I think he is the guy down there in the muck and mire inside the red zone. I think he'll be that touchdown equity guy, the red zone guy, which is really what I want from him most. And if I'm going to get him in there for a large percent of the snaps on a team that has an applied total of 31 points against a team giving up 31 points per game, it's hard for me not to just plug in Darrell Williams and not feel good about it.
Williams is on my list to talk about a little later, but definitely on the list this week in this matchup. For me, it's Jonathan Taylor. I think Taylor's in a perfect spot here. He had that long touchdown this past week. I love the matchup here against Houston. They're ranked in 26th ranked the rush defense. And look, you start to look at where things are trending. The Colts have a really good schedule coming up in terms of opposing defenses for the rush. And I think that's what you're looking for right now. It's also great to see him get 7 targets in that game last week. I don't think that's going to be a fluke. I think you're starting to see Jonathan Taylor catching the football kind of opens up this offense a little bit for more things. I hope they're not dumb enough to go back and revert. Now, again, I got to put the quotes on that. I know hope, but at the same time, I think it's a good trend that at 7,500, especially on FanDuel, I think he brings you some decent touchdown equity too. He's had a lot of opportunities to score touchdowns. Again, hasn't converted them all yet. I think that's only a matter of time, and I think that's something that corrects itself. So Taylor's that guy for me that I love the price, especially when I'm looking for the running back position this week where there's just not a lot of high ceiling guys. I think this is a very good, solid floor guy at that cost. When it comes to wide receivers, Mitch, who are you looking at in this very cost-effective range?
Yeah, so it's going to be T. Higgins, and I think that we're going to have a little bit of a bounce back opportunity. You know, we saw him score a touchdown in both weeks one and weeks two. Everyone's looking at rookie Phenom, who you already mentioned using last week, and Jamar Chase that got ruined by Laviska Shenault. I think Chase is always going to be a good play, but I'm looking for the discount, the bargain bin. So I've got this guy here. He's very affordable on both sites. You know, if you're worried about injury and him coming back, he was fine. He was in on 82% of all dropbacks last game, totally healthy. He garnered 22% of all the targets last week as well. So he slid right back into his role. It's kind of that 1A, 1B is the passing option. Maybe is not going to get the downfield targets we once hoped he would get with Jamar Chase there, living downfield, catching everything under the sun after we saw him drop everything in the preseason. Clearly not an issue. This kid is an absolute phenom. And I'm looking at T. Higgins thinking, you know, he might be overlooked, might be overshadowed a bit, but he's going to be that tried and true guy and for Joe Burrow this week. And I love the price tag. So I'm looking at him on the road at Detroit and a 26 point implied team total for the Bengals. And I think T. Higgins just looks to be a little bit too affordable. So I'm going to plug him in cash and I'll probably go up to Jamar Chase in tournaments.
Yeah, I love that. And Higgins I had with Chase last week and Burrow. I made no bones about that. I was like, I think there's enough for all those guys to eat. Jamar Chase kind of probably caps a little bit of Higgins' upside. But again, if you're just looking at good return, guys that give you 3X value, there's no reason, especially when he's on the field getting that many snaps, getting that many targets, which we know he gets. I imagine most teams are going to try now to stop Jamar Chase, whatever they have to do. I don't think it's going to matter when it comes to the Lions, though. So they're probably both going to eat this week. I'm going to go now to wide receiver, and for me, I'm going to go down here in this attack. I'm all about the Rams this week, boys and girls, all about the Rams against the Giants, the poor Giants. Oh, what a tough way to, you went into Dallas and you lost half your team and you come back with a loss and things are just not going their way. And I think that the Rams are going to put a good old fashioned whooping, just like I told you last week, the Cowboys were going to put a whooping on the Giants, and I was right. And they did literally and figuratively put a whooping on them. I think the Rams are going to put a whooping on the Giants this week. So give me Robert Woods because he's just cheaper. He's just cheaper. I think that correction started to happen a little bit. You saw the garbage time touchdown 2 weeks ago. Last week, you saw him get more involved. I think that's going to be something you can count on. And therefore, my value quarterback of the week is Stafford, because you can run Stafford by himself. You can run him with Kupp. You can run him with Woods. I like that you have options. And in fact, I don't even have a problem if you want to go with Henderson too, and just kind of like a mini stack. It's very cost effective to have Stafford, Henderson, Woods. You can even go with Kupp instead if you want and go with the trio, because I think there's enough here with the Giants that they're just going to run amok on them. And I just think it's going to be that kind of contest. So Stafford's a value QB. The wide receiver value for me is Woods. Who is your quarterback value of the week?
I tell you what, Joe, honestly, I think Matt Stafford's probably a better selection than the player I'm about to name. As I'm listening to you talk about it, I feel like I should have changed my answer.
No. You gotta stick to your guns,
Mitch. I'm doing it, man. And I'm rolling with Taylor Heinicke. And I know it's,
he's next on my list. So
beautiful, man.
We got overlap. I love that.
Well, Heinicke, you know, he's a little bit cheaper, so I'm not a big pay down at the quarterback position guy. And I know this has been something people love to do in cash games over the last few years, but I continue to see in the cash game results, these guys with the higher ceiling still matter. And I'm not sure Heinicke has that 30-point ceiling, but maybe this is the week specifically because of the matchup against the Chiefs. Now the Chiefs are actually giving up the most points per game in the slate. I already talked about Washington giving up 31 points per game. The Chiefs are giving up 32.4 points per game, and they're giving up the fourth most passing yards on the slate. So it's not like Heinicke doesn't have a gorgeous matchup. Now, last week, he scored 11.92 fantasy points on a week where he didn't score a single touchdown. The previous three games, he had scored two or three touchdowns in each. I think there's going to be some type of regression back to that. I don't know if he scores three, but I think two is within the realm of possibility. And even if he can just score one or so, I think you're looking at some type of floor of 15, 16 points in the ceiling, mid-20s, potentially 30 points today, this weekend. And I think that he's a, you know, maybe a little bit more volatile cash option than I'm totally comfortable with. But if you're playing head-to-heads, again, something I believe in for cash games, I think he's a fine option.
Well, especially you got to imagine they're playing from behind, like you were pointing out. So they're going to be pushing the football. And look, Heinicke's been a fan favorite on this show for a few weeks. So, and I love that whenever we have the guest on, you hear us both mention people That means everybody's went and done their homework. They've come back to the table and they've come up with the same results. And that's something to always take note of. And if you've been doing that with us here on the show, you've been having some success. There's no doubt about that. And I'm all in on Heinicke. Plus, you got to imagine Fitzpatrick theoretically not too far away. This is another opportunity, maybe the last opportunity to really put something out there, because I think they have a bye coming up next week in 7, if memory serves.
Great point.
And this is an opportunity for Heinicke to kind of stamp and make them think about it. If he has a great game against the Chiefs, right, and they take them to the limit, I'm not saying beat the Chiefs, because I think that's a little pie in the sky, but it is football. Anything can happen. That really says a lot. Maybe they have to come back to the table and reevaluate. Do they give the job back? But this is a very important thing. Don't forget about the real football stuff when we're talking about the fantasy football side. Value tight end of the week for me is Mark Andrews. I told you I'm just in love with that Baltimore matchup against the Chargers. I just feel like that's the way to go. It's tight end is tough. Let's hope that the Andrews trend is something we can start to count on again. It seems when Hollywood Brown's playing well now, that's something that's opened up the field again for Mark Andrews. And when Hollywood Brown wasn't playing well, we all saw what happened last year. Andrews just became the guy that you shut him down and there's nothing else to be done. Who's your good value ROI at tight end this week here?
Well, I tell you what, that I love your Mark Andrews call too. I just wanted to say that because, you know, we're already talking about doing mini team stacks for cash games. I mean, there you go. You had Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews. That's a very interesting stack. Now, Dalton Schultz is going to be mine, and I'm not too concerned about Blake Jarwin. I think people continue to feel like he's going to be an issue, but Dalton Schultz has outsnapped him in all 4 weeks. And on the season, Dalton Schultz, 73% snap percentage. Blake Jarwin, just 47%. He's not even in there on half the snaps. You've got Schultz in there on 3 out of every 4. I think he's phenomenal. He's actually led the Cowboys in targets over the last 3 weeks. How bizarre is that? We've got a total shift in the type of offense. You already mentioned Zeke being a great cash game play. I think that's partially why this team is trying to pound the rock first, and they'll throw on play action, and they'll throw if they need to, but they're looking to run the football primarily, and that's led to some very efficient offensive production for some of these players. Dalton Schultz, Zeke Elliott, both are getting touchdowns. They're both getting high quality targets, and I like Schultz a lot at his current price tag. That 19.02% market share at tight end is top 5 in the slate. There's a lot to like there in Dalton Schultz, price included.
Let's take a quick break from the action to tell you guys about Pristine Auction. That is the place to go for all the cool swag this football season. Helmets, footballs, jerseys, you like baseballs, you like bats, you like artwork, you like cool stuff that you want to bid on, Pristine Auction is the place to go. Head over to pristineauction.com. Again, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And when you use that promo code Fantasy Pros, you get a $5 credit on us just to sign up. It's free to sign up. And there's $5 in your account just on us, and start bidding on all these amazing items they have. We're giving away a Kyler Murray football that's autographed. Guess what? That's where we got it, Pristine Auction. So go to pristineauction.com, get your bidding on, and get some cool stuff that you can put around your house this upcoming football season. And now, back to the show. On to the GPP gambles. Let's talk about the guys who we have some high hope for in the upside potentially. And I'm going to start with Darrell Williams. Williams for me is somebody you've already mentioned there. The cost is very right for me to get involved with it. I think he's got good touchdown equity. And at this point, that's what I'm looking for at that cost. Can it get me in the end zone? And I think the answer is yes. I still don't feel like the running back position is something that's going to be incredibly useful for the Chiefs. I think that they have moved into a different sort of plane. It's nice to see them starting to move towards Clyde Edwards-Helaire these last couple weeks, but I don't know if that's a trend that you can continue to think that's going to be, especially with Clyde Edwards-Helaire out. However, I think in tournaments, Darrell Williams is somebody that I feel comfortable enough that, can he give me the touchdown? Can they get close? Can he just pound it in? And I think he can, and if he does that, then I think he pretty much gives you the return on the day with whatever yardage he gives you. If he gives you 50 yards on the ground, that's great. I don't have higher expectations than that. Do you have higher expectations than that for him?
Yeah, I think that, you know, potentially if you do believe in the narrative that, listen, Chiefs must win scenario, they've got to score the football. And if they're missing Tyreek Hill, maybe he gets used a little bit more than we'd expect. I'm honestly looking at him hoping that once they get in the red zone, that's going to be his time to shine. He's a big boy. He leans forward when he runs. He's not the fastest, but he can definitely make some of those like chunk yards you need in the red zone. And I think that honestly, he is the type of guy I'm looking for, where I think a team's going to score a lot of points, and I think he's going to be the primary back. And those two things just kind of meet today, and I like him a lot for that reason. I'm not entirely sure he's going to have the appeal in like a really large tournament. You know, we're talking about those Millie makers. Four Fantasy Pro listeners have won the Millie before. I'm not entirely sure if he
I don't know about four Fantasy Pros ones. We had one Fantasy Pro one, some other shows that I've hosted, so I feel like I'm the good luck charm, Mitch.
You are the good luck charm. So,
and if I'm such a good luck charm, you'd think one of these days it would be my own luck, but it's not. It's not. But regardless, I will make this pact. Even if I won, I would still want to be here talking about it because I just like doing it.
And we'd hope you would stay here. What the heck, man? We need to tail you the next week.
Oh, I know, right? Oh, I might take a week off, you know, just kind of, you know, go crazy.
Make your next lineup from Jamaica or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. I mean, traveling so hard now, but yeah, I think I'd find a way to do it. But who's your running back? Let's get to your guy here.
All right. Well, I like Kareem Hunt, and partially because I think his pricing is just awkward this week. I mean, he's kind of priced up a little bit. And whenever Joe or myself or anybody else is making lineups, if they're looking at a player and they're like, I don't know if I could pay for that, I don't feel good about it. Well, I think where there's fear, there's opportunity. And I want to take that opportunity to try to make some money. So if you've got a guy that no one feels good about, I kind of am more interested in them than most would be. And I think that Kareem Hunt, you know, he's been solid this year. He scored 16 and a half points or more in all but one game. This team has a 26.25 point implied team total against a very tough defense in the Cardinals traveling across the country. So, you know, the matchup is kind of weird. The pricing's kind of weird, but we continue to see good production. He's on the field a lot. He's getting enough touches. We know he can take one to the house at any given touch. So I like Kareem Hunt a lot this week.
Well, it's funny. It's the same way I feel about Chubb every week, where people get afraid to use one of these two guys because of the other one, and they're missing out on a good pricing on a player sometimes. Like, even last week, it was like, well, Chubb is a good start. You know, what's Chubb going to do? Oh, I don't know. He's probably going to have 100 yards and a touchdown because that's just what Chubb does. So stop overthinking it sometimes. And if anything, like you're saying, the roster percentage sometimes gets artificially, you know, deflated a little bit because the concern about the other guy eating in. But at the same time, I think this is what the Browns are. The Browns are the Chubb and Hunt show right now, for better or worse. You got to figure the rushing floor for Kareem Hunt is probably around the 50 to 60 range, right? Because that's what he's shown you all year in the game log. And then the receptions, you're probably looking at, you know, what, 3 to 4, somewhere in that range, probably 2. It's a pretty good ROI, especially on DK, if you're getting that full point PPR scoring. So I like that call, and I'm with you. I feel like people don't respect the Browns duo enough, and they're not getting them involved enough in their lineups, and it's hurting them. And in the meantime, they're trying to make certain players happen that just aren't. Like, you know, just like Trey Sermon's just not happening. You know, Javonte Williams is not happening. Stop trying to go to those timeshares. Go to a timeshare instead that has been really productive, and Chubb has really been productive, and Hunt's really been productive. When it comes to wide receiver, who's your GPP Campbell of the week?
Yeah, this is definitely a gamble, and it doesn't really go in line with the narrative that you and I are pushing here, where just play the best plays. I think, you know, honestly, you can just play the best plays and be okay. Mm-hmm. This one, it definitely is going to take some nerve. You're going to have some brass here, because Brandon Cooks, not a player that inspires confidence, but I do think he is in a great matchup against a secondary that was riddled with injuries. We saw Lamar Jackson just go absolutely bonkers against the secondary after people started dropping like flies. Colts are actually giving up the most points per game to opposing wide receivers. 29.14 is a very high amount. And you're looking at Brandon Cooks, a guy who went, you know, first 3 weeks looking really good. Last two, not so much. Did have 7 targets, though, last week. I think there's bounce back opportunity. So Brandon Cooks, well, he won't inspire a lot of confidence. I do think there is solid upside there. And I think Davis Mills, he's not terrible, but I don't think he's special or anything
either.
You gotta
love when you start a description of a guy. He's not terrible. Like, that's such a low expectation we have sometimes.
Yeah, again, I mean, you're not going to feel good about it, but we're trying to take down the tournament. Hey, man,
300 spots, a 300 spot. He does it. I give him all the credit. You know, it makes me terrified as a Patriots fan what Dak Prescott's going to do to him this week. But I digress. I think it was just a letdown, honestly. I think there was so much going into that game with Brady that there was no doubt it was going to be kind of like air out of the bubble. And they snuck out with a W, but at the same time, I like the Cooks call also because I think people are off it now. And you're right, the target share is not going to change because they have no choice. Mm-hmm. It's still got to be Cook, so why not take the volume, right? Volume is king.
Yeah, and his price tag's affordable, too. I mean, he's continued to have that price decrease. And I've heard you talk about it on previous shows as well. When you see those guys who you think are a little bit more talented than their price tag is and they continue to drop in price, just use them.
Yeah. For me, it's Michael Pittman. He is just 5,500 over on DK. Last week, caught 6 of 7 targets. He has caught 6 balls 3 weeks in a row, eight before that. So the target volume's there. He finally got a touchdown. We were waiting for a touchdown. He had the touchdown last week, and that pushed him from a guy scoring 13 points to a guy cracking 20. And especially on DK at 5,500, I really like this play this week. Once again, it's against Houston. I'm going to pick on Houston a little bit. I know they had a good showing last week. Sorry. Just not going to buy into it too much. I'm not going to give them that much credit. They're still the Texans. They're still terrible. But I do think this is a good opportunity here for Pittman. It's a good opportunity for Taylor. I'm not going to go crazy with Wentz. I draw the line somewhere. And I'd rather be starting Taylor Heinicke at quarterback in GPP this week for all the reasons that Mitch already said. So I don't want to belabor them, but I'm telling you, Heinicke's been tremendous. You give him a pass on the one bad game, there's no way he can't push the football again in this contest where they're going to be trying to play catch up with Patrick Mahomes. It's a good spot. It's a good price. He also can get you some points with his legs, which you got to like about Heinicke as well. So I think he's a really good play. Who's your GPP quarterback of the week here in week six, Mitch?
Yeah, so I caught my breath a little bit there when you said it, but Carson Wentz. So I know we're diving a little bit.
I can't do it. It's probably right. It's probably right, but there's just something about him. I just can't do it. I don't know why, Mitch, but maybe you make your argument. Maybe by the end, I'll come wreck around. I probably
we'll
should.
See. I'll try.
Honest.
I'll try my best here, but it's partially because of the two players we named. I like Brandon Cooks this week. I love Michael Pittman, and I like this stack. It's going to be, we're talking single digit, low single digit owned stack. Not many people will use this. You might not even find anybody else, you know, sliding these guys in there together, but you could look at Cooks, you can look at Pittman, and then put in Carson Wentz. Now, the Colts weirdly have a 26.75 implied team total. That's behind only the Ravens, Rams, and Chiefs, fourth highest total on the slate. I think that speaks volumes about really their opponent more so than their offense. And I think that Jonathan Taylor likely is the reason why they're going to score all those points. However, if you don't think so, you have an opportunity to leverage that situation. If Jonathan Taylor ends up being a highly owned or highly projected to be owned player, you can leverage that ownership, not use Jonathan Taylor, plug in Carson Wentz, plug in Nyheim Hines, plug in Michael Pittman, run it back with Brandon Cooks. And you've built a game flow scenario where you've said they're not going to run the ball. They're going to be throwing the football for whatever reason. And hopefully on the other side, you're saying Houston's up because Brandon Cooks is having a career day. Really, it's putting together game theory to put together a very low owned lineup, hopefully for a contest that is more built for like the Millie Maker or a very large contest. You're definitely not using a stack like that or players like that if you're in a small single entry contest.
6,700 on FanDuel, I struggle, but at 54, I think you convinced me to have a little Carson Wentz. All right, on DK, you did it, Mitch. Good for you. Well done. And if it doesn't work out, I promise I won't blame you on the show next week. All right, let's go to tight end here. Who's your GPP tight end that you like this week, whether it be cost, whether it be people we're looking at in terms of low roster percentage and maybe a little bit more upside than we realize?
Yeah, so honestly, Joe, I'll lead off with this. If I am making a single lineup this week, just one, only one lineup, no more, no less, it's going to be plug in Travis Kelce. However, if I'm throwing out a few lineups, I certainly am going to want to create a different type of lineup. Mm-hmm. And if I can pay down at tight end, I've already shifted the rest of the makeup of the rest of my lineup. Hunter Henry's the one guy I'm kind of looking at down in the, you know, the bargain area, and he's affordable. And I think his opportunity is on the rise. He's had five or more targets in three straight games, 19 total in those games. He's had four or more catches in each as well. Back-to-back touchdowns over the last two weeks. Will it continue? I'm not sure, but I'm willing to take a shot at Hunter Henry. They have a 24.5 point implied team total against the Cowboys, whom I also like defensively this week, but I don't mind using Hunter Henry, at least in a single entry, or if I'm doing 150 entries, having some type of exposure to Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry was my guy too. You know who I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to go with the guy that I struggled with between Henry, and it was the polar opposite of Kelce, is Ricky Seals-Jones. I thought you might be throwing that out there. But the Ricky Seals-Jones, I mean, if we like Heinicke, maybe that's another way to go about the Heinicke situation, right? I mean, he did have that red zone target. I mean, he does seem to be getting that action. They're down some weapons. I don't know. Like maybe Ricky Seals-Jones is another one we should be looking at. What do you think?
It's not a bad call. I mean, honestly, tight ends, often it's either they're going to be PPR equity or touchdown equity. And a lot of their value comes from what is their implied total? Are they going to be scoring points? They've got the great matchup. You got the stack ability with Heinicke, and you can run it back on the other side with Mecole Hardman. You know, people are talking about Byron Pringle this week, a little bit of Josh Gordon, Travis
Kelce. You know what,
man?
I have played that game. If Hill is out, I hate that game of trying to figure out, is it Pringle? Is it Harmon? Is this guy? Right. I've seen it happen. I've seen us all. It was DeMarcus Robinson some years, and it would be Sammy Watkins. But I can't do it to myself anymore. I'm not going to do it. But I wonder, you know, a tight end, you're right. And I agree. I think Henry became my guy too, because he has a little higher floor just in case. But if you want to go all the way to the polar opposite of Kelsey, Ricky Seals-Jones might not be a terrible play this week. Again, not a single entry tournament play. But I think if you want to go polar opposite, it has some merit. Let's talk about the DSTs this week. I've got on my board Cincinnati again, because I had Cincinnati last week on my board last week. Denver, Indianapolis, those are some. I actually kind of think that Houston is interesting too. Not because of the total necessarily, even though I know it sounds weird, I like Indianapolis in this game. However, at the same time, I'm looking at the Houston defense being so cheap and what they've done in the last couple of weeks, and they're scoring some points. So I just want to throw that out there, you know, especially on the DK side where you're really looking for every penny you can get. It's not a terrible idea if you're looking for a contrarian play. That's the way to go, because look how much we talked about Indianapolis, right? We talked about them so much in this, which means everyone's on it. What if it goes south or doesn't go where you think? All of a sudden, just like last week, all of a sudden Houston becomes a much better play than people thought they were against the Patriots. What are some defenses that are in play for you this week?
Yeah, you named a couple of them already. I love those picks. And, you know, looking for salary on DraftKings, always kind of an issue. So Cardinals defense, 2.7K. They've got a tougher matchup against Cleveland. Does not turn over the ball that much. And they're also on the road, traveling west to East Coast. Never a really good thing. But what I'm looking at mostly is the fact that they've already scored a defensive touchdown in the season, and they cause turnovers. They have 10 turnovers on the season. And I really think that at 2.7K, I'm looking for that upside. If they go out there and get me 3 points or something, so what? That's going to be probably half the other defenses down there under 3K anyways. And I have the opportunity of picking a defense that I think does have that upside. Anytime you have someone like J.J. Watt in the field, gets an opportunity to put some type of strip sack fumble into play, you know, pick it up, return it for a touchdown, or maybe intercepts like a screen pass, takes it to the house. That'd be exciting. So I like the Cardinals defense on DraftKings. On FanDuel, I like the Cowboys. This is a team that is getting after. Oh, yeah. Fantastic pick because of the pressure. You know, you've got a defense that is causing a lot of pressure. And we've seen Stephon Diggs' brother out there. I believe Trayvon Diggs, is it?
And Trayvon Diggs has been terrific, man. The phenomenal. Guy's been out of his gourd. And it's funny because we talked on the IDP show just last night, Bogman and I. The reason why he's so good in IDP is not only because he's getting the picks, but because guys keep throwing on him because he's giving up a ton of yardage because he's aggressive. So I don't know when that marginalizes, when guys are like, you know what, we got to stop throwing over there because even though he gives up yardage, he's also getting the turnover. But it's hard not to imagine with Mac Jones that there might be a turnover in this game for Diggs again.
Absolutely. And this defense in total, even just beyond him, he's got, I think, five or six interceptions.
He's got six already.
Six. Yeah. That's absolutely wild. The team has 10 still. Yeah. So it's not like it's just him making plays. And I think at 4.1K on FanDuel, you can't ask for a better floor and ceiling combination at defense. You know, they have two defensive touchdowns on the season. So,
and Patriots running backs are putting the ball on the ground. Let's be honest.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, Ramondre Stevenson has, Damien Harris has. So yeah. There's turnover potential there for Dallas. Love that call. All right, let's get to the stacks of the week. For me, it's the Rams. You can take the defense. You can take Stafford. You can take Henderson, one of the wide receivers. Just do whatever you want. The only problem is I do think it's slightly limited in terms of, you're not going to get like the same thing you're going to get out of that Baltimore game with with the Chargers. Like, Baltimore Chargers is like pie in the sky. Let's go. Let's have a lot of points. But in terms of safer, like a little ROI cost, the Rams are just right there where they should be this week. So I really like them. But if you're going to go balls to the wall, it's getting involved in that game that we talked about at the top, which is Baltimore and the Chargers, whether it's Lamar and Herbert, whether it's, you know, any of the wide receivers you want to get involved with, Hollywood Brown, Mike Williams, Eckler. You made such a great case earlier in the show. What's your what team's your stack of the week potentially this week in week six, Mitch?
I mean, I know the listeners can't see us today, but we can see one another. And I was smiling ear to ear when you brought this game up. I actually love this game. I think this will be an under-owned game because of the spread. Rams opened at 6.5-point favorites on the road heading to New York. They have moved since then to 9.5-point favorites, sometimes 10, depending on what book you're looking at. It means a lot of the money's coming in on the Rams. The spread has changed dramatically. I think a lot of people will be off of this game because of this, thinking blowout scenario. But the Rams pricing, very affordable. For whatever reason, those primary producers on this offense are not being increased in price. You have a great price point in Matt Stafford. Robert Woods is totally affordable. Cooper Kupp, is due for a touchdown here since it's been a game since he scored one. And then the other side, I'm actually going to be going with the Giants side of the stack. So you're on the Stafford end. I like Daniel Jones. I know it's weird. I was totally off him last week because he was chalk. There's no way on earth I'm playing a chalky Daniel Jones in tournaments, but I am using him this week because I think the entire world, 11.5% ownership in the Millie Maker, I believe, last week, got ruined, absolutely wrecked.
Oh,
I think
so they're all upset. 100%. They're upset. Such an overreaction. Always, always.
Huge overreaction. And you're totally right. You talked about that before the show started about how people will jump to conclusions based on a week's performance. And I think this is one of them where people will look at this and say, no way, no how, not touching him. I think Daniel Jones has bounce back opportunity because of Kadarius Toney. On top of that, we saw Sterling Shepard and Kadarius Toney and my friend Darius Slayton all returning to practice in limited fashion on Wednesday. The team is on the mend. I don't think losing Kenny G hurts them at all. And if they're going to have to throw the football a lot this week without Barkley, I mean, you're looking at a guy who could throw the ball 40, 45 times. We know he can tuck it and run it for 50, 60, 70 yards, hopefully not trip himself up inside the 10-yard line. You've got upside there in Daniel Jones. You've got a stack ability, and you've got a low on play. It's not going to inspire total confidence in doing so. But again, where there's fear, there's opportunity. I'm going to tackle that, and I hope I get paid this week.
I love it. I hope you get paid too, man. I think that's spot on, baby. I love it. Let's go. And you're right. Getting Shepard back is huge as well. And I don't think Galladay is a difference maker for them. I just don't think he fits this team. I didn't think he fit this team to begin with when they brought him in the offseason. All right, let's get to our locks of the week. We've been doing really well with the locks of the week. We had the McLaurin-Heinicke thing a couple weeks ago. Last week it was Davante Adams' lock of the week. This week I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor. As I mentioned before, last two games, 7 targets, 6 catches. That's the trend you want to see continue. He had a lot of catches in that first game out of the block, and then it all went to Hines. Now all of a sudden he's starting to catch the football more. This is what you want. 2 touchdowns in that game against Baltimore. I think this is a good opportunity for him and a good cost, especially on FanDuel at 75. That's a great place to be living at running back for a solid RB1 investment when you consider you don't have access to Derrick Henry this week. You feel weird about Cook. You feel weird about McCaffrey, even if they do play. So I think Taylor's a really good guy to settle in and start to build some lineups around. How about you? Who's your lock of the week this week here, Mitch?
Yeah, I feel like I'm potentially belaboring the point here, but it's Travis Kelce. And, you know, I talked about his price tag being decreased to 7K. I talked about, you know, scoring more than 20 fantasy points in 10 out of his last 12 games, including the playoffs. Well, if you go back to the last time his price tag was 7K, my friend, it was right before he went on this 20-point-plus tear in 10 of the last 12 games. So he had had several games in a row scoring under 20. Price tag dropped exactly to 7K, and then he went absolutely nuclear. I think there's opportunity for this week, especially if Tyreek Hill is limited or out. I think he's going to be peppered with targets, be the alpha and omega in this offense. As much as I like Darrell Williams as potentially a red zone target, let's be honest. It's going to be first and foremost, give the ball as much as we can to Travis Kelce in between the 20s and in the red zone. So I think he's got 2-3 touchdown upside. Potentially the only guy on the slate with more touchdown equity is Davante Adams. And in a position where it's just a barren wasteland of opportunity meeting talent, Kelce has both.
He does. He does. And it's always a good question to ask ourselves every week. Is this a week to Kelce or not? You make a really good case of why it is. And also the drop off in tight end productivity overall right now and the way the slate is working out also. Let's talk about the fantasy fly around, and we'll go around to each and every game and talk about a little bit, give you a little taste of what's going on and a question maybe for a player or two we haven't talked about today. Let's start Arizona at Cleveland. Now, Cleveland defensively is, you know, gets a lot of respect, but inconsistent to say the least. Does that mean that we should maybe be a little bit more on Kyler Murray and Hopkins this week? Because we didn't even mention them. They looked phenomenal in a couple of those moments. I still don't know how Hopkins caught that ball, and I don't know how Kyler Murray threw that ball where he did, that only Hopkins could catch it. It was stunning. But we've seen that before with those two guys. They just have an incredible rapport. Is that something we should be talking more about this week against Cleveland, especially after Cleveland gave up so many points last week?
Joe, I'm so happy you mentioned something, because on top of that, and it's not going to show up in the box score, DeAndre Hopkins dropped a touchdown on the goal line.
And went You're right, he did too. I forgot about that.
Right. So you've got a guy, and we know he has the upside for multiple touchdowns, 10 plus catches, 100 plus yards. I mean, we've been kind of waiting for that massive explosion. We've had a couple good games from DeAndre Hopkins, but we have not seen that 35 point game that we all know he can have. And they're now facing a defense that just gave up 47 points to, you know, a very similar constructed team that will move the ball through the air. And I think that if you still continue to have Chase Edmonds slightly limited, maybe an inefficient James Conner, who is mostly a goal line back at this point in his career, I think that this is a game that we could be targeting and should be targeting more so than we've probably even mentioned or thought about up till this point.
All right, we talked a lot about the Cincinnati guys. They're playing Detroit. I want to talk about one Detroit guy here. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4,200 over on DK. He's been very consistent with the target share the last few weeks. There's been some injuries around them. He is healthy and working out of the slot a lot. Do you like this play at all as a kind of a lineup builder play because he's so cheap on the full point PPR site where he might just be a lock for 12 points and then you can kind of build off that?
Fantastic call, Joe, and precisely the type of play I look for when I see somebody who's going to be higher owned, who's very volatile, like Mecole Hardman. He's already being plugged as being that guy who everyone wants to use this week because Tyreek Hill might be limited or out. He's 4.3K, sitting right there, a beautiful price point pivot. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who you just mentioned, is 4.2K for Detroit. He's had 6 and 7 targets, 6 and 7 catches over the last 2 weeks.
And he plays for Detroit, so nobody cares.
Nobody cares. It's going to be single-digit ownership. That's a great call, man. I like him, and he was already targeted on my list, so to hear you mention him, we've been on a lot of the same players.
I think
we're either
going
to be
feel good. I like this, Mitch. Whenever I have the guest on, and I think the guest is very smart, like you are, and then we have the same guys listed, I always feel very confident going into the week. There's no doubt about it.
We're
going
to be at the top together or the bottom together.
You said it, my friend. You said it. All right, let's go to the Cowboys and the Patriots here. You know, I can't get too much into the Patriots for DFS. It's just that offense just lacks playmakers. But I want to talk about the playmakers on the other side. We talked a lot about Zeke. We did not talk about any of the wide receivers here. Is there any of the wide receivers, whether it be Cooper or Lamb, you want to invest in this potential week? I know you mentioned Schultz, but do you like the ROI you're getting out of them? 6,500 for Lamb on DK, 6K for Cooper. Over on the FanDuel side, 6,800 for Cooper, 7K for Lamb.
I mean, you kind of nailed it, though. The price is right. You know, you're not paying too much for two guys who you think have a high ceiling. And maybe if the field is more on Zeke this week, that's just the leverage play. Now, outside of just that theory, I'm not on them. But if you're using that theory of you're trying to leverage the Zeke ownership and you think that, you know, their price is just too low, continue to drop in pricing, then you can plug in Amari, you can plug in CD. You know, Dak looks pretty solid. He's very efficient this year, even if he doesn't throw the football a ton. You know, yes, but on the same token, you can't run it back on the other side with many players. I mean, we already talked about maybe Hunter Henry being that guy. I'm not there totally.
All right, let's move on to the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. This was going to be in Chicago here. We did talk about Adams, which is easy to talk about somebody great. Let's talk about Damian Williams for a second. He was kind of a darling play last week, and then you saw in the garbage time towards the end there, Khalil Herbert get a lot of work. Is that going to scare people off Damian Williams, and should it?
I'm not too sure if it'll scare them off of Damian Williams, but I think to an extent, I think it should. Khalil Herbert is a guy who averaged over 6 yards per carry in college. He looked pretty good in the preseason. He looked pretty good last week, too. And I think he actually out-yardaged Damian Williams. I think he's a solid back, truly. And it's not like Damian Williams has this massive track record of huge success. So I am slightly concerned. I don't like the price tag as much as I did last week in week 5 for Damian Williams because of what I saw from him. I also don't like the matchup. These are two teams that are playing slowly. 57 snaps per game for the Bears, 61 per game for the Packers, both under league averages. Divisional matchup. I'm not entirely sure there's much I like outside of Devontae Adams. I kind of think I'm just playing him and moving on.
We gave a lot more love to the Houston-Indianapolis game than I think most shows will, but I want to give one more question to it. Chris Moore, 5,300 over on FanDuel, cheap on DK as well. Do you think that, you know, maybe Chris Moore's got another big game potentially in him? Are people going to buy into last week at all, and should they?
Yeah, that was interesting to see. I mean, he has 63% snap percentage. It kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah, he was on the field, exactly.
Well, once Anthony Miller was gone, you were wondering, okay, well, who else is going to kind of step into that void? Because clearly Miller wasn't that guy. But Chris Moore showed up.
Yeah, he did. And people, there's been some Chris Moore believers over the last few years, too. And they've kind of just waited for this kid to get his opportunity. He's got some speed. Now, Chris Moore, not the type of guy I'm playing as a one-off. I suppose if we're talking game stacks, probably worth mentioning. I already talked about having Carson Wentz on my target list for GPPs. And I suppose I could run it back with someone like that.
All right, the Chargers versus the Ravens, we've talked about that one a lot. The only thing I will say is Mike Williams, if the health keeps trending in the wrong direction, then maybe you bump up Keenan Allen. I would also strongly consider Hollywood Brown, too. They really seem to be working well together, and Brown seems to be taking his game to that next level. Again, physically, he looks stronger on the field than he did the last couple of years. He put on some weight, and I think it matters because the corners can't kind of throw him around the way they used to, which is good because that's what you need to fight at the NFL level. Instead, I want to go back to the Rams and Giants game because this is the million-dollar question. What do we do with Kadarius Toney? Now, everybody's in on it after last week that wasn't in on it last week. 5,600 over on DK, 6K over on FanDuel. Are you going to have shares this week of Toney or are you going to let everybody else go crazy over it?
Yeah, I actually am. I think even if Darius Slayton returns, I think he's slightly the odd man out here. Kadarius Toney kind of plays that same role. Downfield target, can make plays. Darius Slayton was looked at as being that. Now, Slayton coming back from injury this week, looks like he probably is playing with Sterling Shepard. I think truly, my friend, this is all positive for Kadarius Toney. I think anytime you get more talent on the field, potentially take away some of the attention from Kadarius Toney, I think that's a good thing. As long as his ankle shows out as being fine, I think he's going to be on the field a ton. I'll take that massive upside. I love these early season rookies. The field is always, always slow to adjust because I think a lot of people look at this. I mean, you see Jamar Chase for weeks be under-owned because people keep seeing this as like, well, he got lucky, caught a touchdown, it was broke coverage, whatever it is. But these young, talented first-round rookies have major
upside. A guy like Toney plays in New York, so I don't think that's going to last as long. When you play in Cincinnati, you don't get as much publicity sometimes, even though you should. Like, he's getting now, but Toney does it one game, and I tell you, because I live in the New York area, it's they're talking about it. Oh, baby, are they talking about it?
What do you think of him this week? I'm intrigued.
I love it. I would actually go back into that well, because I think the roster percent, there'll be enough people that I'll say, oh, I don't want to chase last week. And he's such a playmaker that I think right now is probably the last time you want to chase it, because if you're right, it's a good investment. When it starts to click up into the, you know, 6K range on DK next week, like just out of the top of my head, that's when we have to start thinking about it. Okay, how much do I believe in the Giants offense and Daniel Jones and all this stuff? That's when it starts to, I think, make a big difference. Is right now, at the cost, yeah, sure. I think it is worth having a share or two just to see because he is that kind of explosive talent. One right touch from him is a huge point total. And that is what you're looking for always in DFS, especially in tournaments. I'm more apt to go there in tournaments, obviously, than cash. I don't love it as a cash play, but it is cheap enough that it lets you do some other things. I can't say no to it. The Vegas Raiders going against the Denver Broncos. What do you think the Raiders offense looks like without John Gruden this week after this past week's change at head coach position?
You know, I was actually thinking about this game before our podcast because I wondered what we were going to talk about for this one. And I'm actually thinking this team potentially is in trouble this week. It could be just one of those like circus acts, right? It's just going to be there's so much news. Every player is going to be asked every question under the sun heading into this week six matchup. That's not going to pertain to the actual on-field play. It's going to be a distraction. I actually think this could be an interesting spot for the Broncos to potentially blow up. I mean, we're looking at maybe a scenario here where Vegas just comes out and they're just not prepared to play. And there's going to be a lot of shuffling on many levels of that organization and that team. So I like Denver a lot. I think I'm totally hands off of the Raiders this week until I see what happens.
All right, last one. And we haven't talked about a single player in this game. Minnesota at Carolina. How did we not do this between right now one single guy? And there's a lot of fantasy assets. You got DJ Moore. You got Jefferson. You've got obviously Adam Thielen's been pretty solid this year. The quarterbacks are investable, but I think it all comes down to the two running backs, Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook. So I'll just ask this. If these guys are on the field and playing this week, are you going to throw any lineups in there with either of those two guys? Because it seems like from a roster percentage standpoint, it would be low. The cost is still very high. That usually kind of enters into a fascinating opportunity for these guys, potentially in tournaments where you don't usually play these guys because it's tough to create a lineup around them. So what do you do with Cook and McCaffrey if they're actually playing this week?
I think you phrased the entire scenario perfectly, which has allowed me to kind of think about it quickly and say, Dalvin Cook at 7.8K, the guy I would be interested in on DraftKings. Yeah. Don't like him on FanDuel, though. And on Christian McCaffrey's side, I don't think I touch him on either side. He's too expensive. We saw Dalvin come back from injury last year, I believe in week five, ended up with like 30-something touches. Everyone was worried about a groin injury at that point, and they brought him back, and he had 30 touches. Now, we saw him come back, I believe, 2 weeks ago from the injury, and he had 9 touches. They took him off the field, very ineffective, sat him last week. So if he ends up sitting this week, I think one player we didn't mention either is Alexander Mattison, lock and load, plug and play option if Cook is out. And if Cook is in, I'm actually really, really liking Cook because of what you said, the fear there and the lower ownership.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And if McCaffrey's in too, remember last year when McCaffrey came back for that one game and put up a 30 spot and then we never saw him again? This might be your last chance.
I forgot about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, you remember that? Like, if McCaffrey's in, you got to always consider it because that's who he is. Like, he only knows how to be one thing, which is awesome. And unfortunately, the other version is hurt, and you don't like that version. That version is not nearly as entertaining, but opportunity is there in this game. And as Mitch was saying, too, if Cook is out, that immediate pivot over to Madison makes a ton of sense, especially when you consider 7,700 on FanDuel. That's right in line with that Jonathan Taylor price. That's a great price for him. And 6,200 over on DK is a really good price for Madison as well. All right. His name is Mitch Carl. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at DFS and Donuts. And he, of course, is the founder of Team Rise or Fall. Mitch, go plug everything you guys are doing. It was so great to talk to you. But tell me more about Team Rise or Fall and all the exciting stuff you guys are happening to over there.
Well, that is a very generous thing to allow me to do. So thank you very much, Joe. Honestly, I just want to say I'm humbled being on the show. I continue to listen to the show this year, and you continue to bring on phenomenal guests who are much smarter, much brighter, and definitely better looking than me. So to be on this list of those names has been really cool, man. So thank you. You guys can find me on Twitter, as Joe had mentioned, at DFS and Donuts. And if you want to check out our site, teamriserfall.com, actually post my Fantasy Pros expert rankings for fantasy football there too as well. They're totally free. So anytime I can support Fantasy Pros, I want to do so. And we're beginning to do that on our website as well. So thank you very much for today, Joe. I've said it a couple of times now. I'm humbled. This is a humbling experience. So thank you, man.
This has been such a wonderful season because I've gotten to do shows with people I've never done before. I'm literally searching around, looking for the talent in this space that I feel like is really engaging and doing great work. And you guys over at Team Rise or Fall, we had Chris Robin on a couple weeks ago who works with you guys, and you're the top of the board there. And I said, well, if we're going to have Chris on, we got to go up to the top. We got to go to the CEO. We got to go to the big man. And I am very grateful that you gave us your time and came on today. And I encourage everyone to check out their content over there. They do fantastic work, and Mitch is super passionate, and they really, you know, are presenting a lot of great stuff, especially from the player's perspective. The people who are out there playing who are giving you knowledge, and it's not even the fantasy community so much as the real player community. And I think the real player community that you see have great success, that's the best people to learn from, and that's who I learn from in this industry as well. So we're going to continue to crush it and give you great content over here at Fantasy Pros. And in the meantime, make sure you go over and follow him, like I said, because it's a good follow, and you'll get some more DFS advice, and that's what you need at this point in time. Also want to remind everybody, don't forget to go over to Betting Pros. Check out all the great content that we've got going on there. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Pristine Auction. Head over to pristineauction.com today, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Get a $5 credit when you sign up for free and use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get all that cool swag and start bidding. And don't forget to download Jock Market on the app or Play Stores. Check out jockmkt.com and use the promo code PROS for a 100% deposit match up to $50 on your first deposit. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Mitch Carl, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.